Are you tired of reading the same manga over and over again? Well, subscribe to NorthCaesar.com and you can read comics and manga like Armored Dragon, Premise 7, Space Pop, Shinto, Monarchs, and many more for only $2.99 a month with the Nord membership. Or you can go for Nord Gold for the whole year just for $25. And get this, with Nord Gold you get $10 off for the entire year. I think that's dope. So come subscribe to NorthCaesar.com.
This episode is sponsored by All Ages of Geek. Unites the geek of all ages with anime, gaming, Dungeons & Dragons, and all of geekdom. So visit allagesofgeek.com.
Hi there! I'm Goku. I'm training right now while listening to Cool Concept Podcast. It's awesome! Available on Anchor, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, and more. No, oh, whoops, lost track of time. I have to get back to training. Hope you enjoy the episode.
This is a Cool Concept Podcast with your boy Mika Mas, and today I have a special guest, cartoonist / illustrator Devon Dowdy. What's up, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, man? Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. I just got home from work, just chilled a little bit, and now I'm up.
All right, that's good. That's good, man.
So, tell us about yourself.
All right, well, I'm from Brooklyn, you know, born and raised. I'm 22. I just graduated from School of Visual Arts with a cartooning major. I draw comics. I do illustrations and commissions, and right now I'm working on my own personal work called Grin.
Nice. Yeah, your art is really dope, man. So
thanks, I appreciate it, man.
No problem. When did you start being an illustrator serious?
I started taking it seriously in high school, I feel, because I had always wanted to be a cartoonist. Like, I always wanted to either make like comics or cartoons ever since I was 4. Even before I even knew the name of it. And it wasn't, and then when I got to high school, I found out what it was called and like, what it's an actual profession. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go do that. So then, after high school, I went to SUNY College for like a semester and a half. And then I transferred over to, an actual art school that teaches the profession, like the School of Visual Arts, or everyone calls it SVA.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
What inspires you? Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Cool. Like, I was just saying that. Like, yeah. So I spent like 4 years over there, and then now I'm out.
Oh man, do you feel stress free?
No. I mean, like I feel like the stress just shifted over to a new subject. Like, at first it was stress over, you know, getting classes done and keeping up with my grades and making sure like I'm never behind on anything. And since I've graduated, all that stress has just transferred over to, okay, now you got to find a way to make money to pay off those fucking loans in 6 months. And it's like, oh, no one told me this.
Oh man. Let's see. What inspires when you are illustrating?
When I'm illustrating.
What inspires you when you are when you are illustrating? My God, right, I can't speak.
Like what gets me going? Like when I'm in the moment. It's like,
yeah.
It's kind of like, it very much is in the moment thing. Like, I try and plan out when I want to work. Like, I'll wake up and be like, okay, so today I'm gonna like sit down, I'm gonna like try and work this and this and see how it goes. Because every artist has like their off days where even if they're trying to draw something and it doesn't look right, like your hands aren't functioning with your brain properly, or you just have art block. So like, typically what I would try to do is like, if I'm feeling art block, I'll try and watch like a movie that I really resonate with, or I'll try and listen to like my own little playlist that I have. just like see if like I could like get some energy or reinvigorate myself. But one of the main things I've realized since quarantine is that like I miss working next to like people, because like when I was in college in my senior year, they give students like studios. Like if you ask them, they'll give you like your own little space to work in, and you like go there and you could spend as much time as you want there, like even over weekends you could spend overnight. And typically like it was me and my friends, we all got like the same studio space in like this one corner. So typically we would like just, it's where we'd spend all our time during school. We'd work there for days, like during spring break. I don't think I left. Like we would work like all day, and then at night we'd go to the bars like across the street and drink and then get drunk, and then we'd come back to the studios and continue working and pass out. And like I realized that I'm the type of person who I feed off that type of energy. Like if my friends are there working next to me, it's like a motivation to keep up with them. And now that like, you know, with the quarantine and the pandemic, everybody's kind of, you know, been scattered to the wind.
Do you see yourself creating a studio on your own?
Like a company? I don't know. I don't know if
I would say.
I mean, like that would be nice. I would need to get the finances proper, like just like set up with that. But would I just get like a space where me and my friends could just do work in? Absolutely. We talk about that all the time. All the time we talk about like how we just like rent out a studio space. And just, you know, it's a place where we could like just be creative and fuck around and do what we want. Like that's the dream.
Okay, that's dope.
Yeah.
What is your favorite drawing in your portfolio and why?
Ooh, okay. Ooh, let me go run through my Instagram. let's see. I think like of all time, like even I feel like, okay, I have two answers, like one for nostalgia and then the other one because like it was like a milestone.
Go ahead.
So the one I have for nostalgia is, where is it? Okay, great, I found it. So like it was one that I did back in like 2017, and it was of like the protagonist of the story that I'm working on, Didi. And it's like him, and it's like the perspective is really dynamic, and it's like a really close up of his like sneakers, and it's all the way back from like November 6th. Like I'll send you the post so to see.
What kind of sneaker is it?
Oh, that's the thing. Like, it was. I try like to make the sneakers of my own design, but also like based on the sneakers that I wear. Like, so like this was actually this one I didn't base off of anything because I wasn't wearing sneakers like that yet. Like around 2017, I wasn't a big sneakerhead. I just wanted to make like shoes that were cool, And it wasn't until later on in that year, I was like, oh, I really like sneakers now because I liked drawing them. So I started getting into like setting designs of them. And I was like, oh, so now I'm just going to start purchasing them for me to wear because like that's what I'm into. It was a very strange, like new hobby. Like it was a strange reason to pick up this hobby. Like I remember my dad asking me like, why did you start buying sneakers all of a sudden? You used to hate like the whole sneaker craze thing, and it was just like, oh, because like, I don't know, I just started drawing them and it got me interested.
Okay.
All right, and then the other one that I'm proud of, and I'm proud of this one due to like the milestone I hit when I drew it, was my 10K celebration post on Instagram when I hit like 10,000 followers, because like I didn't like, I know, wow. Like I know I everybody says like how, you know, the numbers don't matter, and in a sense they don't, but in that moment it was like, one, I never thought I would hit 10K. Two, like when I made this Instagram, like I never made it for the sense of getting clout. Like, I just wanted a place where I could easily log my progress in my work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just wanted to be like, okay, so like, if I scroll back far enough, I can see what my art looked like back in 2015 or whatever. Because sometimes when I have art block, I like to go back and look at my old drawings and be like, okay, what did I do back then that was like, that I could improve on now, or like I could try and do better.
So you're just seeing your growth over the years, basically.
Yeah. And like, because over the years, like where I've kept my work, or like the programs that I've used, or even the devices I've used to like store my work, has changed. Like, I had a whole bunch of work on an old Surface Pro 3, and it doesn't turn on anymore. So like any drafts I had in there is gone. And now I'm on an iPad Pro, which honestly, my opinion, like, is my favorite like device to work on. Like, I know everybody's about like the Cintiqs or the Studio Mobiles or whatever, and like they provided that at SVA. Like, we had computer labs that provided like Cintiqs to work on, but I think my issue is like I like working small.
Mm-hmm.
And the iPad has the option to be like 10 inches, so it's like about the size of a standard notebook, and I really like that. And also, like, you know, I don't have to have a PC for it to work. I could just take it anywhere with me. I could draw on a car if I wanted to. And that was like one of the handicaps of Cintiqs I didn't like. And the pen is just, oh god, this is like, we're not sponsored by Apple. They're not paying me to say any of this. But it's just the pen is honestly my favorite, digital stylus I've ever used.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think if they suddenly said iPads are banned, like if we catch you using them, we're gonna put a bullet in your head, I'll be like, you know what, I gotta live with those choices. All right, like I'll cross that bridge when I get there. You can't make me stop.
Mm-hmm. So what software do you use for your to create your, you know, your artwork?
I'm about to gush all over this. I use Procreate. Like, I, over the years, like I used to do traditional, and traditional is like when you just use like paper, pencil, inks, markers and colors and all that stuff. You do everything by hand. I'm using quotations, you can't see me, but like by hand, which it's all by hand. Like, there's just say that right now. Like, sometimes people will be like, oh, did you do this like with, did you just like on a computer, or do by hand? Like, bro, like, what, I do you think I drew this with my mind? Do you think like I use telepathy? Bro, like, it's all by hand. Like, I've used Clip Studio, I've used Fire Alpaca, I've used Paint Sci, I've used Microsoft Paint. Of all of them that like I have used and tested out and experimented with, Procreate is my favorite drawing program to do my work. It's where I do everything.
Wow.
Like, since let me show, how, when did I get this? I think I got this back in 2020. What year did I get this? Oh, okay, I got it. I got this in 2018, like around the end of 2018, like in November is when I got this iPad. And I have not gone back since. Like, everything you've seen since 2018 has been on this iPad, has been with this program.
Interesting. Okay. What do you do to overcome creative block?
Ooh.
I know you spoke about it earlier, about art block, so I think it's
right,
basically the same.
I mean, like, I can go deeper into it. Like,
Go ahead.
Like I said earlier when I was talking about this, like, I'll try and watch movies, or even better, I'll watch like YouTube videos of people, doing like video essays about movies that I watched when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, this YouTuber called Red Sword made a whole video, like, just essay about Treasure Planet. And Treasure Planet's one of my like, what is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, I love Treasure Planet with like a passion.
Treasure Planet.
Huh. Have you seen it?
No, I have. I never heard.
You haven't seen Treasure Planet, bro?
Treasure Planet. Oh my god.
Bro, like, I don't know if you have Disney Plus or whatever, or like, you know somebody who does, because they used to be on Netflix. But then with the whole Disney Plus, they took all that shit. But
you know,
but
what?
Treasure Planet, like, is fucking dope, man. Like, the shit they did back then, the things that they did, like, it was a pioneer in the animation industry. And Disney.
Oh man, I feel so bad. What is it? An animation?
Yeah, man, it's an animation. What the fuck?
Okay, I'm trying to remember. I've probably seen it. I just don't. It's been so long. I've seen it, like, a Disney animation, movie or series in a long time. I haven't watched any of those. So,
Do you remember? All right, I'm gonna try and like just say things that I remember from the movie that maybe you remember. It's like. It's basically like a treasure. You know the story Treasure Island?
Yes.
Okay, it's that, but with space. It's space pirates, essentially.
You know what? I've probably seen it. I've probably seen it. I just don't remember the name.
I'm going to use another movie. Sometimes I'll watch like people talking about like a popular anime. And why they were popular and like what they did to change the industry. Like, I'll watch Super Eye Patch Wolf on YouTube and his video essays about shit. Like, whenever I have art block, I always go back to like his Akira video, just because like it's so good, and the way like he talks about it and explains how the whole background story of Akira and the production issues and how like technically as good as the movie is, it's a compromise to the manga, because like the manga started and then the movie started, and then the manga didn't end until after the movie was already finished, so they didn't really have a definite ending, and like they had to cut out a lot of stuff because like a lot of stuff didn't even really
make the film.
Yeah.
They didn't. Yeah. Yeah, like Akira, I have lots of positive stuff to talk about Akira. Akira to this day looks really good, in my opinion.
Like Akira to, I don't think anything like Akira will ever exist again. Like,
yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
Like the amount of frames that was animated, I think it was like, I don't want to say something wrong and then I get fucking messages about people saying like, actually it was animated at this frame. Basically they animated way more frames than necessary to actually show motion, so everything is just, you notice it's just more smooth and everything just feels more alive
and fluid. It was one of like the first. I think it was one of the first anime movies I ever
basically,
watched.
Basically, it was Akira that made the U.S. or like at least like the Western side of the world aware that anime is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because before there was nothing else. Like the West didn't talk about anime. It didn't acknowledge anime. It was like, oh, it's just those. It's just, you know, cartoons in Japan that they do. No one cares about that. And then Akira happened, and then people started paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Studio Ghibli happen too? I don't remember.
Studio Ghibli happened, but I don't think Studio Ghibli was popular yet.
Well, yeah, that's right. Did it cross North America though? I don't remember too much. I remember in the 90s, Pokemon was one of those films that crossed from Japan to North America.
Yeah, but Akira came out way before.
Akira came out in the 80s?
Fuck, when did Akira come
out? Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah.
And then, Pokemon came from the 90s, and then a lot of movies after that. But yeah, Akira is one of the most, like, you know, I feel like, you can still watch it today and it will feel new.
So I still watch that movie sometimes.
Yeah.
I might watch that movie tonight.
All right. So what is Grin Comics?
Okay. So Grin is essentially like my child, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something that I came up with in high school that I've like been editing and changing and shifting and rewriting since I was like 16, 17 years old.
Interesting.
And like basically the whole prompt, like if I could describe it in one sentence, it's like, what happens when you find out you're the worst version of yourself in the multiverse?
Huh.
And it focuses on our protagonist, Dee Dee. And like, Dee Dee is not a nice person. He's a brat, essentially. At the start of the story, he's very much a bratty kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets an alternate version of himself who is by all means like this near perfect example of what he should be. Like, he's kind, he's understanding, he's patient, and RDD is none of that. Right? And it's frustrating because like imagine like you are who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, it's essentially like you're meeting like your older brother. And your older brother's like better at you at everything. You know, you ever have that feeling where you have like a relative or sibling that like you, but does everything better than you?
So does Dee Dee get jealous of?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like there's like, and like through like some unforeseen events, right? Dee Dee and his counterpart encounter like the antagonist, who I've called like Moth, and Moth is also a Dee Dee. Like, it's not at first, like, funny, like at first when I designed him, like, he's the guy with like the mask that you see sometimes that I draw, and at first it was gonna be a secret, and then I was talking to my friends about it and like they immediately figured it out, and I was like, oh well, if it's not like obvious, I don't want to like, why would I have like a secret everybody knew? So I decided to make it like a joke that like everybody figures out who he is, and he's just like the only one that's not super aware of it. Like, cause he's intimidating. Like, Moth is intimidating, but he's still a Dee Dee, so he's still like super silly about things.
Huh.
You know? So like a whole bunch of shit happens, and essentially the better version of Dee Dee dies. Like, he sacrifices himself to protect our Dee Dee. And to do that, he sends him to his world to hide out, to keep him from Moth, because Moth can, like, he could jump from world to world, but he can't really, like, choose where he ends up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it would take him a while to find him. And that's, and, like, that world is where most of Grin takes place. It takes place where our Dee Dee now has to pretend to be the better version of himself he can't live up to, because everyone around him thinks he's that Dee Dee. So he has to like pretend like he knows people. He has to like play along with relationships that he doesn't have actually. And it's a lot of pressure, because in this world, everybody, like, at least everybody that knows him, admires him and looks up to him and like depends on him. And he really doesn't want that. And he fumbles and he fucks up a lot. Like, I write for Dee Dee, I want him to like constantly struggle to make good choices. Because like, okay, one of the key elements with Dee Dee and like their whole abilities, besides like being able to like hop from world to world,
mm-hmm.
is the hands that you constantly see me drawing around like the Dee Dees. And essentially it's like when a Dee Dee dies, right?
Yeah.
Their essence or their soul goes into essentially like this stockpile of energy, right? And every deity has the ability to tap into that, right?
Yeah.
But when you use that power, the power is also semi-sentient, right? So like you, the power has to agree with your reasons why you're using it in order for you to use it well.
Mm.
Which is why like the deity that like everybody respects has always been so good with it, because his actions and choices have always been righteous, always been justified. So he never really had an issue dealing with his abilities. With our deity though, every choice he makes isn't necessarily for the greater good. It's usually selfish, so they don't agree with him.
Mm.
So they don't work right.
So like basically like good and evil.
It's not even about good and evil. Like I don't really believe in good and evil when it comes to deity. I just feel like sometimes people will make selfish choices sometimes, and sometimes people will make like selfless choices, and he's just one of those type of people who will make more selfish choices than the latter.
Yeah.
Like more times than not in the story, he will try to kill somebody because he sees it as the easier way to get out of the situation, but his powers, one, won't let him, and two, he can't really get caught doing it, because if he does, then people will figure out that he's not that deity, and he's freaking out about what will happen if people find out. Like, what would you do if you weren't you and everyone else around you like thinks you're someone that you're not?
Mm-hmm.
Like if your mom found out that you weren't really her son, you would be panicking about her finding that out.
Yep. You're right about that one.
Yeah. Moms are scary, man.
Your favorite character in Grin?
Ooh, my favorite character in Grin, I think, is Faith. And I haven't talked about Faith that much, but Faith is the girl in the green. Mm. And what her thing is, like, she is a cyborg who was put in stasis from the 1960s, all right? And she's essentially like when I describe her, she's basically this OP death machine. Like I designed her to be. She is physically the strongest character in Grin consistently. Like she's the only person that Moth like can fight. Like Moth is one of the strongest antagonists in the story.
Uh-huh.
And Faith is the only person who, when he encounters her, he doesn't really know what to do. Like, he could beat her, but he has to try really hard. And he's like, why the fuck am I struggling with this girl? Like, why won't she slow down or whatever? And her whole thing is, like, she has no memories. And she's trying to figure out, like, who she is. And Didi brings her into his team because, like, one, he feels bad because of, like, how when they first meet, he kind of causes her to, like, crash a plane in their fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the organization that they work under, which I've named, like, Ring, like, the Ring.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we're going to put her in your custody because we trust you. So now he's responsible for her. And honestly, they kind of become good, like, best friends, because she's the only person who has never met the other Didi. So, like, their friendship can actually be genuine. Like, there's no lying behind it because, like, yeah, like, this is the first time you're meeting me. This is the first time I'm meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have to, like, pretend to be someone that I'm not. And I could, like, relax for a bit. And also, she's just fun to draw. I just really like designing her fucking being OP and shit.
Do the fans like her more than Didi?
Oh, yeah. Like, I did... Well, no. No, everybody loves Didi. Everyone loves Didi's design. But I think it's because I draw him the most.
Yeah.
Like, I think in the rank, it's our Didi, like, then it's Moth, and then it's Faith.
Mm. Okay. Alright. Would you like Grin to be an animated adaption?
Oh, I would love it. I would love out like that's like one of the dreams. Like every like artist or like comic creator would love to see their work adapted. Any writer honestly would love to see their shit get adapted. Cause like one, like you get to see like somebody like your work enough to be like, hey, I'm gonna give you a shit ton of money to pay a studio to make this thing move,
mm-hmm.
along with voice actors and like a soundtrack. And so like that's like an honor I would forever be humbled to have. And two, the royalties, man. The royalties, like that. Like, I could pay my bills? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you want to animate this shit? Please, I beg you. I'll run this shit till, like, as long as you need me to. I'll milk this thing dry. I love my child, but I gotta pay bills, man.
So what studio would it be?
Ooh, okay. Like,
like, you know, Studio Bones, Wit. Is it Wit?
Yeah, it's one of those two. Honestly, I think about it a lot. I would like it would have to be. I think it would have to be Studio Bones.
Mmm. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, like I just really love like the stuff that they have put out. Like they just know consistency, and they also like, you know, they're able to pump it out nonstop. So like, I wouldn't have to worry about delays too much.
True. They do a lot of beautiful animation over there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever got your work stolen before?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and it's one of those things like that comes with having. I don't even want to say a big following, like, because like I've 13k on Instagram and then like 5k on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not like massive. I'm like medium. Like I'm not big enough where like people are paying me consistently just for existing. But I'm not small enough where like no one's gonna see my shit and therefore not steal it. I'm in the middle. So like,
yeah,
it's like that weird sweet spot where like people are like, oh, I like your stuff. I'm gonna take it, and I feel like low-key I can get away with it. Like, no one's gonna tell you I have your shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the joke's on them. Like, typically, like, either someone tells me or I just notice you. Like, earlier this year, there was this guy, right, who DM'd me, and he was like, hey, your art really looks like this comic called Crimson Red, or is it like Crimson Black or something? It was one of those two.
Yeah.
And I was like, at first I was like, oh, I guess like, is there an artist that like whose art style similar to mine? Because like that's bound to happen, like especially like when you have a lot of Eastern influence.
Yeah.
Nowadays, like eventually everything kind of just blurs a bit. So I go on Webtoons because like that's what he linked me, and it's like literally my art, right? And just like clipped out like old art too, and like clipped out and wow. Photoshopped and overlaid on weird backgrounds and hand drawn bubbles for speech, and it's just like, what the fuck is this? like this is like it was so poorly made, right? Like it was so poorly made. Like it was like one, either a child did this, but then you're also like, how does a child know how to do Photoshop? How does a child know to upload this on Webtoon? So it's like you're like an adult, and you're stealing my work, and you're like relaying it over to try and make some bullshit story. So plus like I was pissed off too, because you know what I was doing when I got that DM? I was like chilling. I was watching like the last two episodes of the Clone Wars,
mm-hmm.
for the final season, and I was like, I was enjoying it. Like Ahsoka was beating Maul's ass. I was eating it up. I loved the choreograph and the art, and then that whole shit ruined my evening. So now I'm like emailing Webtoons, being like, hey, this guy is like stealing my work and posting it at his own. He's plagiarizing me essentially. And then like I'm on Twitter and I'm like, oh, this guy has a whole Twitter too.
That's crazy.
Of my work, and he's just like reposting my work as his.
Did he not give you any credit?
No, he was pretending. He was pretending he made it.
Wow.
So now I'm emailing Twitter and I'm reporting it and I'm like, fuck, I gotta tell people about it so they can report it, so they can take it down.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, like, it took like I think a week for them to find, for Twitter to act, and I think Webtoons acted within like a day.
Nice.
Which, like, thank God. And I haven't had anything that extreme since. Like, I'll have people every now and then, like, that will heavily reference my work, and I could tell, like, with how the bodies are posted or like what their faces are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's obvious, like it's not slick, but also like a lot of these accounts are like kids who are like 17 and such who are just trying to draw. Yeah. So it's like I'm at like a crossroad. Like on one hand, it's annoying that like you're obviously tracing my work, or like at least not even if not tracing, you're heavily
copying,
like referencing. Oh. Yeah, you're copying or referencing my work a lot, and like you're consistently doing it with every post you make.
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, like I wasn't that different when I was his age, and I was just trying to figure out how to draw properly. Like it's a part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
when you're trying to learn. Like one of my professors used to tell me, like, don't trace what you can steal, don't steal what you can copy.
Mm.
And it's like I understand that, but it's also frustrating when you're on that other end, you know?
Did you have conversations with the person that took your art? And
oh, for like the Webtoons thing?
Oh, no, like, did he have a conversation? Did he DM the person that took your art?
That's the thing, like, there was...
On Twitter?
One, the account had... On Twitter? Yeah, because, like, they were the same guy. They were the same guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, is this...
Like, the guy who was uploading on Webtoon was also the same guy who was uploading on Twitter. I didn't DM him. I didn't... Because, like, one, the account was... Had not been active since, I think... December.
Oh wow.
So like that was also another whole thing that like kind of pissed me off. Like how long has this been happening? And like I would have never even noticed if some random kid didn't DM me, mistaking me for the artist. I mean like he was right, I was the artist. I just didn't create Crimson Black. I didn't name it that. So it's just like it was all like circumstances, like okay, this I was lucky someone let me mm-hmm. know, but I could easily have not. This could easily have not happened. I could have easily still been in the dark, and I think being in the dark annoys me more than anything.
Mm.
Like I like to know things or like be aware of things, and when things just like
yeah.
go over my head, it's frustrating because it's like, fuck, is this my fault? Should I have been like more aware of my surroundings?
Mm. I mean, it happens on an everyday basis. Every art, like, gets stolen. And, they know they shouldn't be stealing the art of other people and remaking it like it's their own.
Yeah, like, and it's such a weird thing. It's like, what do you gain from that? Like, is it just clout? Are you expecting to make money from this? Because I don't understand. If this was to get popular, right?
Yeah.
Let's say for a second, like, for some strange reason, Crimson Black blew up on Webtoons, right? Right? That everyone's demanding for a second chapter. What then? Huh? What's your plan? Like, you're just gonna keep, like, ripping off my work and, like, slapping it together poorly? Like, what happens if I die tomorrow? Then what? You're fucked. Like, are you gonna DM me being like, hey, like, don't be mad, but I've been stealing your art for like the last year on Webtoons and people love it and now they want more. Would you like to be my artist for Crimson Black? It's like, nigga, no! What the fuck? No! Who are you?
Oh my god.
these characters already exist and have names. They have plots, bro. What are you doing?
Oh my god, I'm dying over here.
It's like, You fuck me and now you want me to suck your dick, bro? No, get the fuck out of here.
Oh man.
So yeah, no, I didn't DM. To answer your question, no, I didn't DM him. Like, I just immediately tried to report him, because DMing him would just give him the attention he wants, I guess. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, they steal the shit. So the artist eventually has to message him, being like, hey, don't do that. Like, and that's honestly one of the main reasons why on Instagram, I'm like, hey, don't use my art as your profile pic. Because, like, one, I don't like it when people, like, just take my shit without asking me and just start using it to promote their own shit. Like, I remember there was one point where someone, like, was using my art as their Twitch page to promote their Twitch. And it's like, yo, you didn't even ask me, man. Take that shit down. And also, it's like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're about. Like, for all I know, you're, like, some fucked up, like, supremacist or something. And now my art's associated with whatever dumb shit you say on your account.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
I see. No. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I appreciate that you like my work enough to do that, but nigga, pay me. The fuck? I don't do this shit for free.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you feel there needs to be black reputation in animation? Sorry, in animation and... Sorry, man. My head is somewhere today. All right, let me restart this question. Do you feel there needs to be black reputation in the anime industry?
I think so. I feel like, one, I feel like it was the black community that really popularized anime, at least in America. And I say this because, like, I don't think anybody goes harder for anime than us niggas. Like, honestly, like we fucking love that shit. Like, we'll watch this shit till we die.
Mm-hmm.
So like, so many times it's just like, one, there's not enough representation in the industry, like in anime industry, in animation industry, in the cartooning industry, in the illustration industry, just in the arts industry in general. When it comes to stuff that's not like music or basically music, because even in the television and movie industry, like, we aren't represented properly. Like, they, like, for every black cartoonist I know, there's 10 white ones I know.
Huh.
And it's like, one thing I've noticed, like, even in my Indian, in my art college, I'd never even seen, like, a black professor at my college. Like, I didn't have, like, a black cartooning teacher.
That's crazy.
One, I didn't even know one existed.
See,
for the most part.
I see, I don't think a lot of black people love to do animation. I think because they go after, like, you know, being a basketball player or being an athlete over, you know, over being like a cartoonist or illustrator or animation or voice actor. You know, like, stuff that would probably be a lot less money to them. They go after the big money, or, like I said, being an athlete.
I mean, like, yeah, you have that. You have the whole, you know, I feel like that's more of a stereotype now than anything, because there's artists that I know, right? There's black creators that I know.
Yeah, they are.
On social, like, media.
Yeah, they are, but, like, it's a lot less. I'm not saying there's none. There are black artists. There are, you know, black cartoonists out there. But I feel like, yes, I think they go where they can make their money and help their families, and, you know, and it.
But I think that's due. I feel like, personally, that's due to, like, the whole stigma that, like, black people can't be, you know, creative
yeah,
in the same way that animators or illustrators can be creative.
Listen,
I'm just saying, like, from my experiences, it's always been like, you know, black people can be creative as long as it's in an aggressive tone.
Mm.
Like, you could be like, yeah, you could be into music, but you gotta be a rapper. You gotta be like, and there's nothing wrong with rap. Like,
yeah,
I love rap music, but there's much more to black people than rap and basketball.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like every time we get a representation of a character,
it's hip hop.
In any show, it's always like
hip hop.
Yeah, like a hip hop soundtrack, like hip hop style.
Yeah.
Like, he's a graffiti artist.
Yeah.
He plays ball.
Yeah.
Like rap. Like he's just one of those hard niggas, and it's like,
yeah,
bro, like, what the fuck? Like, what if I just want to listen to anime openings?
Yeah,
because that's my playlist.
Yeah, yeah. You don't hardly see a black country singer, right?
Man, country's whack. Country, I don't know about country, man. I don't fuck with country like that, man.
I do. I do. Agree.
You fuck with country, really?
No, I just had to choose that genre.
All right.
That example of a genre of like where black people.
Right. I mean, and that's a good example to have, though. That's a good example.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's not even that I want to be an animator or like a cartoonist or an illustrator because I'm black. It's just like,
mm-hmm.
I feel that, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Like, who's like, because I'm like, why, because I'm black, like, I can't? Or like, I have to be like pigeonholed into this one thing?
True.
And it's like, yeah. there's so many black people who like have a story to tell, and like they're creative, and they have like they have like this whole side that they could bring to like comics and animation and illustrations.
I agree.
That could really change things, but people are too scared. White people are too scared to see that, like, you know, bloom. Because then suddenly, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, there's no, wait, why is this anime only black people? Like, where's the white dude? Like, nigga, man, you have your shit. You have your shit. Like, you've had your shit for decades, man. Like,
so many.
You getting mad that cannon busters are all niggas? Like, that's what you're upset about, man? Go fucking watch some other shit then, man. Go watch Friends. Shut up. Like, you got How I Met Your Mother, man. Be quiet.
Oh, man. Okay. What's the future of you and Grin?
The future for me and Grin is I need to finish this first chapter, man. Like, because, like, this chapter, like, I have everything laid out. I have most of the line art done.
Mm-hmm.
I have the dialogue that, like, I'm working on. It's just, like, one of the hardest things for me is, like, I'm such a perfectionist when it comes to Grin, but I'm also a major procrastinator. And the procrastination for me stems from fear of it not being as good as I would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I do this, like, if I put this out there and then no one likes it, then I've spent the last 7 years on nothing. But, like, even today, I was thinking to myself, like, I need to get this done. I need to stop, like, editing the small shit and sweating over the small shit because it's the first chapter. And no one's first chapter of anything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could look at, like, the thousands of comics that's come out that has standard the test of time. And I'm not even talking about like anime. I'm talking about also Western comics, like at least like indie stuff, like Invincible, for example. Like, you look at that art and you see like Ryan Oatley's art in chapter one. And it honestly, it's shit compared to when he gets to like issue 100. And that's the whole thing. Like, you just need to get it done. You just need to get it on paper and out there. And then you can improve as you progress, and that's my issue. I need to realize like I can improve this as the story is going. I don't need to keep like every time I figure out a new like coloring technique, I have to go back into my old pages and redo how I color everything and how I do my renderings. Because like, yeah, that will look good, but it already was done, and now it's not because I wanted to redo it.
Do you feel like you're too comfortable in your zone?
Like, when you say my zone, what do you mean?
Like, do you feel like you're comfortable? Oh my god. You're comfortable.
Like where I am, like I'm comfortable.
Yeah, you're like when you're basically.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, that's like one of my. That's one of the things my mom always fucking telling me in my ears. Like, I'm too easy to adapt to things. Like, I've always been like, you put me in a situation, whether or not I'm uncomfortable, like, I'm very quick to just get comfortable in it.
Mm.
Like, and that stems with everything about me. Like, even with relationships, like, there was a time where, like, I was in a relationship and, like, I liked the girl. I didn't love her. But, like, I was comfortable enough where I wasn't really going to leave. And eventually I realized, oh, I need to, like, get out of this because, like, she's ready for stuff that I'm not ready for. I'm 18 at the time. And I got to go.
Mm.
But I wouldn't have left if my mom didn't get on my case about it. And, like, that's something that, like, one, I'm in my 20s now. I'm going to be 23 in October.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be, like, relying on my mom to tap on my shoulder and be like, hey, man, you're getting comfortable in this. You need to just get out of your comfort zone. And comics is like, while it's my comfort zone, it's also, like, an area that I'm new in. Like, I, as much as my 13,000 followers, like, are around, and, like, I appreciate that. Like, at the end of the day, that's nothing compared to what the other creators on social media are, and how they're making their money and how they're doing their grind. And like, one of the things that I resonated with when I was in college, right?
Uh-huh.
It was my freshman year. It was my first day in my actual like cartooning for drawing class. And my professor at the time, Nelson, like he walks in and he looks at us. And he tells us that my job here is to make sure that you guys are ready for when you guys get out of here. Because once you graduate, your competition is not just going to be each other.
Huh.
Your competition is going to be me. And like, one, that's the most, like, I felt like that's the most anime shit I've heard like a grown-ass man say to me in a class. It's like, all right. Okay, sir, I see you. Like, I get it. I see the tournament arc. I get it. I see it. But like, he's right. He's right in that. It's like,
yeah,
everybody that's like, when you're in art school and when you're in like this career path of cartooning and working in comics, it's like everyone around you, you're learning from, but also like, it's going to come to a point where you're going to have to fight each other for jobs.
True.
Because, like, it's not like this. It's not like everyone's looking for an artist right now, especially, like, with the pandemic. Like, work is scarce in every career path right now. So, like, I'm blessed with the friends that I've made in college. Because, like, one, like, we all, like, luckily I made friends who, like, we all work in different aspects of cartooning or illustration. Mm-hmm. So more than anything, we're gonna like uplift each other and show each other stuff that could honestly help us improve. And even like today, like one of my closest friends is kind of like my editor sometimes. Like sometimes I'll just like, I'll send a page into the group chat and then like she'll DM me being like, you need to fix this, this, and this. Like, I feel like this could be better. Why is this arm like this? And honestly, it improves it. And she gasses me up, and I appreciate that.
That's dope.
Like, that's what you want. You want people like in your life that's like, yeah, not just gonna be like, hey, this looks great, this looks amazing, but like also have the honesty to tell you like, hey,
yeah,
this is good, but I feel like this could be better.
Yeah. Yeah. You want people like that around you to, you know, share their real opinions on your work. So you don't want people that would be like, yes, yes, yeah, that's pretty good. Then you draw a stick man, and then they say, yeah, that's great, that's awesome.
Right. I feel like the color's a little too saturated. Maybe you could dim that down. And they're right.
Yeah. You don't want yes. Well, yes, people.
Yeah, you know, no one wants a yes. You don't want a yes man. I hate yes men. I hate yes men with a passion. Cause like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not a billionaire, bro. I don't know why, like, you're kissing my ass like this, man. Like, I'm not paying you. Like, you're not gonna, like, I'm not gonna fire you if you give me like an answer I don't want to hear.
I agree. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all the serious questions, and I'd like to apologize to your fan base because, you know, I fumbled a couple of questions.
No, it's all good. It's all good, man. Like,
tired I am from work, so I apologize to you and your fan base as well. So
my fan base aren't gonna yell, right? Right, guys.
All right. No, so the fun question.
All right.
What's your favorite food to eat?
My favorite food to eat? Ooh. Okay. All right. So I like, and my friends always give me shit about this, I really enjoy Insta ramen noodles.
Mm.
As weird as I prefer Insta ramen noodles over actually authentic ramen. And my friends hate me for it. They hate me for it because, like, I'll just buy a box of that. And I remember I was when I was dorming in college. And this was back before I went to SVA. It was back at SUNY College. Yeah. I would just go to Walmart and I would just like get like three of those big ass boxes of chicken ramen noodles. And that's all, when I say that's all I would eat, that's mm-hmm. it. Because I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was just my favorite food to have. And also, like, I have a sweet tooth, so like, I need to eat healthy, definitely. I've been trying to be more healthy with my diet. I started eating oatmeal. That fucking sucks. That fucking book. Like anybody who says oatmeal is my favorite food is a psychopath.
I mean, like, it depends how you feel about it. Cause I eat oatmeal, but like, basically, you.
Yeah, but do you love oatmeal? But do you love? Everybody eats oatmeal, but do you love it?
I don't love it. But you can mix it with other things. Like, but yeah, I do agree. Yeah, like, I don't love it.
I put granola in there, and I put like peanut butter and raspberries, and it helps. But at the end of the day, like, I want to fucking, like, I'm eating this shit, and I'm like, fuck, I miss bacon, egg, and cheese, man. I could be eating this, but instead, I'm eating like essentially like edible paste.
it's not that bad. Like,
I mean, yeah, I'm probably, like, exaggerating about it, but yeah. I'm really annoyed that I've been eating this shit for, like, days now. Like, every morning, I wake up, and I drag my ass out of bed, and I walk over to my stove, and I'm just like, fuck, man, I gotta open this stupid-ass packet of oatmeal, and I gotta stir this shit, and I gotta pour the milk, and I gotta, like, grab all my granola, and then I'm out of granola, so I gotta go to the store. Like, man, I could just go to a fucking deli. Why don't I just go to a deli? But no.
All right. What was your first manga you ever read?
Ooh, wow. Okay, that's it. I think the first manga I ever read, I think was actually I remember the volume too. I think it was Naruto Volume 7. And it was like the volume where, like, he's fighting Haku,
uh-huh.
and Zabuda, and he actually awakens like the Nine Tails for like the first time because like, he witnessed Sasuke die. I think that I remember that, and I remember why I got that book. I got it because like the character was wearing orange, and orange at the time was one of my favorite colors. It still is, all right? Not like vibrant orange, but like autumn orange. Autumn orange is my favorite color. Vibrant orange is garbage and like psychedelic bullshit, okay? Not real. Not neon shit, okay? Everyone's always like, oh, you like orange? Yes, bitch, I like orange, all right? You like the fall? You like autumn? You like that season? You like those trees? What color are those trees?
Oh, man. English dub or sub?
Sub.
When it comes
sub.
To anime. Sub. What?
When it comes to anime, sub. Like, I'll appreciate a good dub sometimes because like there's definitely like especially now, especially for like black voice actors.
Yeah.
I'll rewatch their dub when it comes out. Mm. Like the voice actor for Hawks.
Yeah.
My Hero Academia. I'm blacking out his name. He'll kill me for this. Hold on. Let me go on Twitter and. Zeno? Zeno Robinson. Yeah, that guy. Like, right now he's on Fire Force right now.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'll rewatch episodes where he's in it just because like one, support a brother. Like you see a brother out there like in the anime industry making it.
Yeah.
Like you gotta throw him your numbers. but personally for me like if it's. Whether it's video games or anime, if it comes out in, I try to watch it in the language it was made in, because like that's like the original version. Like there's no edits. Nobody's like reinterpreting the language.
True.
That's what they say is what they mean.
See, I'm more of an English dub guy, so.
Okay, I mean like.
Yeah, people are gonna hate me because of that, but.
But people also need to understand. Like I was very different when I was younger. Like I used to like be very angry at people who dubbed, but then I realized like there's one. Sometimes people, reading and watching at the same time, like it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard. And like you're
missing big.
I have dyslexia.
Yeah,
you miss it. Like it took me a long time for me to be able to like do both. So I'm not gonna like rip on somebody who prefers dub because it makes it easier for them to consume the thing that they really enjoy.
Mm.
Like, don't be an asshole. and two, like also like people have like disabilities where they can't like read subs like that.
I agree.
So like that's the only way they can enjoy the anime. And like if you're enjoying the anime and you genuinely care for it, like I'm not gonna rip on you for. Watching dub, man. If that's what you gotta do to watch like Boku no Hero, go nuts. And I'm like, if I have to watch a dub next to you in order for you to like get that full experience, I'll watch dub right next to you, man.
True. All right. Your top three favorite anime.
Okay. Okay. I think what I'm gonna go with is like my top three like of all time or like recent.
Jeez, that's a tough one. Go all time.
Okay, all time. Okay, I'm gonna go with Naruto just because like that was like the anime that got me in it. Dragon Ball because like Akira Toriyama just knows his shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, the one that beats both of them, shockingly, is actually, like, more of a recent. It's Mob Psycho 100.
I love Mob Psycho 100.
Mob Psycho 100 is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And the reason why, like, I choose those three and not, like, other anime, because, like, personally, I enjoy... I'm more of a manga reader than an anime watcher. Because like I feel like I'm able to consume manga more than anime. For me to watch an anime, I have to be really invested in it, and I have to like set time aside to watch it. With manga, I read like when I was in college, I would read that on the train, on the bus. I'd read it like in between lectures. It was just easier for me to go through them to understand. So like the reason why My Hero Academia is on that list, people who are listening, is because I prefer the manga over the anime.
Okay.
And also, like, sometimes when you get, there's just something about the work coming straight from the creator than like it coming from somebody reinterpreting it at the end of the day.
All right. One word that best describes you.
Petty. I'm a very petty person. I do a lot of things I do out of spite. Like the reason why I didn't quit this career choice from when I was a kid is because like I definitely had pushback, not from like my family. Like my family always supported me in it. They just like they always was like, okay, you just need to make sure you have, you know, safety nets and things to lean back on, which I understand. But there were also like people outside my family that like didn't think I could do it, and I think I was just too spiteful to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And also like I'm very argumentative, so like if I feel like I'm right, I will argue with you until I die. Like either you die or I die. I'll argue with you for days, man. Like if we don't agree with something and you want to like still be like argumentative with me about it, like I got the time, man. I'll put my AirPods on. I'll multitask while I'm arguing with you. I'll bring out facts, man. Don't try that with me.
For me, I just don't like arguing at all. But like, I will defend myself if I disagree with something. So, or if it's meant to, what's the word that I'm missing? Prove myself wrong. If you say, I can say that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what you're saying. And honestly, like, I kind of wish I was more like that, where it's like, I'm not always so confrontational, but still willing to, like, stand up for myself. I wish I was more like that. I'm just too much of a son of a bitch, man. Like,
hold on, no, I'll prove myself wrong. Prove myself right?
Prove yourself, well, like, if you feel like you're in the right, then you're trying to prove yourself right.
Right. Okay, yeah. See, I'm just too tired today.
It's all good, man. It's all good, man. Like,
oh man. Okay, yeah. Okay. Any advice for upcoming cartoonists and illustrators?
All right. One of my advices for upcoming cartoonists or illustrators in general, it's like don't do things because other people are doing it, all right? At the end of the day, like, trends will come and fall, and yeah, that's good for the algorithm, and yeah, they'll get attention on your page, but if you don't have something that is, like, intrinsic to you, that says, like, that where people look at it and say, like, this is that guy, then you are wasting your time. Like, nobody needs a second Akira Toriyama. Nobody needs a second Naruto. Nobody needs a second Mob Psycho. All right, because those already exist. They're already there. People want that. They can go read that. All right, you need to make something for you. It's okay to have inspirations. It's okay to have influences. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to look at it and say, "I made this."
I agree. Anybody you want to shout out, go ahead.
Okay. Like, I guess some people I want to shout out. I feel like there's a lot of artists that don't get enough attention on their work. Like, even like my friends who are illustrators and stuff, like, they aren't currently making anything right now due to the pandemic, but they're incredible. They're incredible artists. Let me just look them up right now to get their ass. Okay, so like there's Hola Goblin, who's an amazing illustrator, also kind of my editor, who kind of like will edit my shit or like make memes of my work incredibly. Like, she's fantastic. There's my friend Camila, who makes work. Her page is Nazario on Instagram.
Cool.
I mean, not Nazario, Nazaria on Instagram. There's like my friend Cody Silver. He's a great cartoonist. Like, his lines are fantastic. Also, there's like my friend Snakebone. There's also like my friend. One of my good mutuals is Kevin Ya, which is like Kevnyan, and he's an incredible artist, an incredible animator. Like, he was like one of the first people to like hit me up to actually do a little collab, which I don't do collabs often. I kind of really don't like collabs because I kind of like working at my own pace. But I really vibe with his style. Like, if you like what I do, I highly recommend him. He's fantastic. There's also Tama Baba. Oh my gosh, Tama Bob Men Art, which is like TAMABOBAMAART. She's a fantastic illustrator. I really think people should like stuff if you like really. One, also, like, her work is very 18 plus, so if you're not cool with that, like, just be warned. And then finally, I think the final person I want to shout out is Daggerstar. Daggerstar is incredible and doesn't get nearly enough attention as they should.
Wow.
So like their Instagram is Daggerstar Fighter. Exactly how that sounds.
I think I heard of them.
They're incredible. Like, their work, like, just, they're going places. Like, if they don't like make it, then like, someone clearly is stupid, you know. But yeah, I think that's everybody I could think of. Had I had known, I would have like written down more people. But, that's all I could think of off the top of my head.
Okay, that's cool. Go ahead and share your social media links.
Oh, right. You can find me on Instagram at NoDowdyAbouty. That's NODOWDY _ Abouty, which is ABOUTY. You can also find me on Twitter at NoDowdy, NODOWDY. You can find me at Patreon under the same tag, NODOWDY, where I post updates on my comic. I post drafts. I'll post like a process videos, and sometimes I'll just try and talk to people. I have a Discord that I'm trying to set up. I'll probably post about that on my Twitter.
Nice.
And that's it.
All right. Like, again, I apologize for this tired, and funny interview.
Yeah, man, I had a good time. Like, don't apologize. It's good.
All right. So, thank you, Devin. It's been a pleasure having you on this episode. I wish nothing but the success for you and your future, and also for your comic, Grin, as well. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I've never really done a podcast before. This is like my first podcast. I've kind of been scared. I've always been scared to do it because like I feel like I never really know what to say, but I think I feel more comfortable with podcasts now. So like thank you for giving me the opportunity to feel things out.
All right. No problem, man. So this ends the Cool Concept Podcast. I'm Mikal Miles, and this is
Devon Dowdy.
And our our tired asses are out.
This was great.
Yeah, it was.